Scripture lesson is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 15th chapter, beginning at the first verse. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If I asked you to come forward tonight and help me to lift this lectern, I would not expect you to stick out your pinky finger to try to do that. You probably would put your hands out and extend your arms and maybe squat down and use the stronger muscles of your back and the stronger muscles of your legs and arms and so on. We use various parts of our body in different ways and for different things. And some of the aspects of our body, some of the parts of our bodies are weaker than others, and we naturally tend to try to support them and use the stronger parts of our bodies to take care of them so that things that are too weighty or difficult don't rest upon these weaker parts. And the same is true when it comes to the body of Christ, to those who belong to the body of Christ by faith. The Bible describes, as we just sang in our hymn, that Christ is the head and we are members of his body. And there are certain members in the body of Christ, as far as all of the believers, there are certain members in this body that are weaker than others. Paul here is talking about, you might say, degrees of faith. There are certain individuals in the church who maybe have a stronger faith than others do. And God would have us understand how we are to interact with each other with these varying differences in degrees of faith. He said that he wants us to bear with each other, even to bear with the unpleasant aspects of those who have a weaker faith. Those who have imperfect qualities still mixed in with their faith, and so on. Our text says to us that we are not to live to please ourselves. Boy, do I know how to do that. That is what comes naturally to me and to my heart and mind. And we see that in little children too, don't we? Whenever someone is to line up for something, boy, they just run to get into the front of that line. Whenever there's a particular thing that is to be divided up, they want the biggest part. In fact, sometimes mothers try to outsmart them on that and have one child cut and the other child gets to pick first just to work around their selfish nature and so on. In a few weeks, we'll probably be seeing again images in the news of that first day of Christmas sales, and how people are just packed and lined up at the door, sometimes trampling over security guards. Some have been killed because of the selfish nature in humanity just to get that certain present or gift for about $20 cheaper. We want the biggest and we want the best. And there is this self-centered streak that is alive in all of us. And even today as adults, when we see this selfish nature in others, we know we can completely understand where it's coming from because we know that that same thing is so alive in our hearts. In fact, there may be times, if you're like me, when someone offers something and you have to almost physically hold yourself back from that greedy urge that just wants to step forward and be the first one to get whatever it is. So St. Paul is describing how our lives in this body of Christ, when it comes to how we deal with fellow Christians in the church, that we are not to think of what pleases ourselves, but rather we are to think of what would be edifying and helpful to our fellow man. We're here at the end of this wonderful letter of Romans. The verses that we have before us tonight are probably not real familiar to us. There's so many other passages in this great book of Romans that we can just snap off from memory. Beautiful, wonderful passages. And how clearly Paul takes us through the entire process of our salvation, talking about how all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one, no one who even seeks after God. And yet how we have been justified by the grace of God through the work of Christ. And in chapter 5, he says, having been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And then there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful, beautiful exposition of the gospel that we have in the book of Romans. No wonder it was always prominent in the early church whenever they compiled their books together. Romans was the first of the epistles. It was the queen of all of the letters from Paul because it so beautifully displayed the gospel. And Paul, having explained all of this now to his hearers, he goes on to say that Christ, this same Christ now, should be our very motivation when it comes to how we deal with others inside of the church. Christ was so willing to deal with the imperfections and the weaknesses, even of his own disciples, that we now who are members of Christ certainly should have the same kind of heart. Paul goes on to say in our text here that Christ did not use his power, even his divine power, to serve himself. How true that is. If you think about the miracles of Jesus, they weren't done to benefit himself. They were always done for the benefit of others. It was never done out of selfish ambition. It was never to give himself a particular advantage. But it was always in loving service to someone else. And on top of that, God now has bundled up all of the sins of all of us, our selfishness and our greed and our pride and whatever sins there might be. He has bundled all of these up in one large, enormous package, one great sack. And our Lord Jesus Christ has willingly crawled underneath that baggage and has placed it on himself as he went to the cross, lowering his shoulders to bear that load for us. As Paul reminds us in our text, he took the reproach of everyone that God had to deal with, and he put it on himself. He let himself be insulted. He let himself be treated like the rapist, to be treated like the drug dealer, to be treated like the adulterer, the thief. Any title that you want to come up with was placed on him, all for the sake of those who did these things against his Father. It's really kind of ironic, isn't it, when we think about Jesus dying on the cross, and in the middle of that tremendous act of love and service to others that he didn't have to do, but did completely out of his grace and mercy, that in the middle of that act, the very ones for whom he is paying their entrance into heaven to live there eternally are coming up and spitting at him and throwing things at him. Well, what a picture that is of his entire mission. The Son of Man did not come to be served, he said, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Paul is writing to us Christians, even those who may have been blessed with a strong faith inside of the church as far as how we deal with others. And he's saying to us that Christ should be our motivation as far as how we treat others, but also our example. Think about the ministry of Jesus. How often don't we see him with his eye on the downtrodden? How often don't we get insight from the gospel writers into the heart of Christ that wants to take care of somebody in the crowd that everybody else despised and looked so down upon? This is the same heart that God loves to see in those who now claim Christ as their Savior. Listen to what Paul writes to us. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. This word to bear has an interesting Greek word. It has to do with the same concept of lifting up something that's very heavy, just like Christ has done with that bundle of our sins. God would now have us also take on a gentle and supportive and loving role toward those who are weak in the faith, and that we should live our Christian lives in a way that is pleasing for our neighbor, something that's for his or her good. We should always ask ourselves, so how has Christ treated me, and how now can I reflect that to this person? How can I let my life now be a benefit to them? And the ultimate goal in all of this is that we remain in the body of Christ, connected to that head by faith, so that someday we can rise with him through the clouds into the beautiful home of heaven. And on that great judgment day, the scene that our Lord reminds us about in Matthew 25, this same Lord Jesus who has given us the gift of heaven as an inheritance will also turn to those who are the faithful in his church and say those familiar words, "Whatever you did for the least of these my brethren, you have done for me." Thanks be to God. Amen.